Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
First of all, ladies and gents, we're sorry about last week.
Yes.
We lost, what did we lose? Time?
Time.
Control? Did we lose control for a while? As you know, we went to Ibiza and met up with some friends, and then we kept saying, do the podcast tomorrow. And then tomorrow came and it would be like,
no,
let's do it later tonight.
Or should we have breakfast? Oh, but we've got that lunch. Oh,
yeah.
But then the lunch turns into dinner.
I know.
And then we're like, oh, should we go out and meet everybody at that thing? And then
that was it, wasn't it?
We're gone.
And then
we're already home.
We thought we could do a half-baked one, but that depresses not just us, but you as well, the listener. So we thought, you know what, let's bang it on for a week.
Yeah.
People will never notice.
They did notice.
But just so you know, we had a bloody good time.
Yes, it was very, very nice. I'm now really into the north of Ibiza. It's so interesting how different it looks agriculturally. It's so green in comparison to the south.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And if you go to the south, you could be forgiven for thinking that Ibiza is just one big sprawling town.
Mm.
But actually, there's huge... When we were staying at
Nick's
Chloe's,
place, yeah.
the taxis can't get there.
I mean, they don't know where it is. Yeah, it's not got a postcode or anything. It was quite peculiar. When you said, you know, in Ibiza, and then you said no, I thought you were going to say naughty. We went to the naughty side of Ibiza.
The naughty step.
But you actually said north.
Yes.
Which turns out was quite naughty, though, wasn't it? It's a coincidence, isn't it? I mean, I wish I could remember the restaurants we went to. First of all, the one we went to after we saw Patrick, can you remember what that was called? Maca? Something like that? I can't even remember the town it was in. God, it was good. And then Nick and Chloe took us to a different one the other night.
That was good.
That was good. Maybe we'll collate this information, and then when we come back after the summer, we'll do a like, these
a little,
are the restaurants.
These are some nice restaurants to go to.
Boom. Yeah, it was really good. So anyway, thanks for forgiving us, audience. We appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And this is our last one for the summer.
Last one for the summer. And we're doing it in direct sunlight. Look at that.
Well, I'm... This is... Do you know what, Mike? My phone... You know when the phone does these little albums for you?
Mm.
My phone did a golden hour.
Did it?
Where just we all look amazing
golden
at this time of day. And the phone had decided when was golden hour and when wasn't. It was really funny. But it was absolutely gorgeous. I was like, oh, sunset after sunset after sunset.
It's funny, the golden hour, isn't it? That film, The Revenant, if anybody remembers that, with Leonardo DiCaprio in it, Tom Hardy and all that. A lovely film, that. Well, it's not lovely, it's brutal.
I was just going to say, it's not how I remember it.
What I meant to say is I loved the film. But they only filmed in the golden hour for 1 hour every day to make that movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they rehearsed the movie all day until 5 p.m. where they film non-stop for an hour. And then that's it. Everybody's done. They're wrapped for the following day. You've rehearsed
but
all day.
I would imagine you need 23 hours off.
Yeah, from the intensity of the thing.
Fucking hell.
I mean, if you watch The Revenant, you'll realise that the huge big takes, like up to 12 minutes of film being shot. So the rehearse was so good, because by the time you're ready for that golden hour and you shoot the whole 1 hour almost, one non-stop, bang, and then you're done. But you can see that film, and there's not a single light, apparently, on the film.
Wow.
Everything is lit by nature.
Wow.
The entire movie. Bloody amazing, isn't it? We've got another movie to talk about this week that we watched that you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a bit. But
and a series that we finished.
Have we finished a series?
Yes, Hijack.
No, we haven't finished the series, I'm afraid.
Is it not? Do you know why I thought we'd finished it?
Yeah.
Because Holly Aird posted a video of her best friend watching the last episode.
Oh.
And for some reason...
it's been released.
No, I don't think it has.
Okay.
I just... have a look. But her friend Sophie, she filmed her watching it because Holly Aird, if you don't know, is
she's a friend of yours.
She's a friend of mine.
I've done her a couple of times.
But she is an actress, an actor, and she is in Hijack. And if anybody saw the last episode, something really exciting happened concerning her in the last episode. And I think she must have a big part in the last... It's 2 days away?
Coming Thursday.
Thursday?
The season finale.
Why Thursday? It's Wednesday normally.
I don't know.
That's so mean.
We're going away on Thursday.
Oh, bollocks.
Possibly we could get it in the morning and watch
download
it on the flight.
Watch it on the flight, yes.
We could watch the Hijack on a Hijack.
Yes.
So should we talk about that to start with?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So a few people had mentioned this to me. My dad in particular said, have you watched the Idris Elba thing called Hijack on Apple TV? And I was like, no. And he went, oh, there's 3 episodes to watch. It's brilliant. Now, me and my dad are like, you know, we're the same person.
Can I just talk about
the sound effects?
The sound effects to your life are my, you know, I always talk about my favourite things about you. The sound effects are my favourite. Basically... the soundtrack to my life is boom, bang. And we're you'd be very good at doing sound effects for movies.
A Foley artist.
And then the door shut, bang.
Bang, yeah. I've seen a Foley artist in action once doing The Exorcist, yeah. So do you remember The Exorcist, Regan?
Very, very well.
She turns her head, does a full 360 degrees.
Yes.
That is the sound of a leather wallet being twisted. I know, it's really good, isn't it? But I've got to say, I would love to do that job where they say, oh, this is an elephant falling over. You know, what would you do to make that sound? I'd think, oh, my God, so I'd just get my kids to fall over and into, you know, big bits of wood and stuff like that. I don't know, it'd just be great to, like, come up with amazing sound effects for things, wouldn't it? Anyway, I've drifted.
I think that it could also be very stressful.
Yeah, especially people go,
wouldn't it?
I don't like that sound.
Yes, and you go, oh, fuck it. What were we watching the other day?
Mm-hmm.
And the music absolutely blew my mind. Was it the film that I hadn't seen before?
There Will Be Blood, yeah.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a bit.
The music.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about it now because I'm on it.
Well, we've not done Hijack
I'm in
yet.
It. Okay, let's do Hijack.
Okay, so my dad said Idris Elba's in it. It's going to be great. So I'm like, I can't wait to watch it. And then you rang me and said, me and Chester are watching Hijack. And I was like, no, I was going to watch that first. And then I was like, what's it like? And you were like, oh, my God, it's the best thing we've ever seen. It is so good. And I was like, damn, I don't want to watch it now because they're ahead of the curve and I'm behind the curve. Oh, my God, I really hate being the last to watch anything. I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. So then I put it on and then I watched it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so good. So Hijack is on Apple TV. There's 7 episodes of it. 6 of them are available now. By the time this podcast goes out, all of them will be available.
The
you are going
to
binge it.
I've got to say is that Idris Elba is... I hadn't seen him in anything for a very long time. He had been in those sort of Marvel movies and I thought that he was... I don't think anybody ever really gets to shine in a Marvel movie. You can be funny or you can be a comedian, but like he is ace in this. This part was made for Idris Elba. He is so commanding, manly, sorted, like vulnerable in places.
Well,
I mean,
he does
all of it.
That's the thing that's a slight odds with me because he's a very powerful person on screen, yet... there's a lot of vulnerability in the character and he's not as strong as
that's why I
you
love
should
it.
Make it, you know, that he's normally made out to be. And there's bits of it where I think you really should have just battered that guy, you know. But actually
he
doesn't and
he can't
because he's not that guy, right?
No, but he can't because he's on a plane.
Yeah.
There's a load of constrictions on a plane where you just, and restrictions where you can't behave in a way you might do on the ground. And because what I loved about it was knowing that he's a negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
All the time he's thinking end play is, you know, I think he's thinking land the plane, everyone alive.
He just wants to get home alive.
He's just always thinking, what can I say to manipulate these people in a negotiator's way with my negotiator's hat on. He's so good.
There's a very good cast in it as well. It is typically British. It feels like a BBC drama. It doesn't feel like a big American thing, although I think it's very high-end budget-wise, isn't it?
Very high-end.
Great aerial shots of the airplane, great interior shots as well. You really feel like you're watching a movie, but it's got a slight Britishness about it, which is very nice. Yeah,
the British air traffic controllers.
Yes, the Welsh girl, isn't there?
Yes, she's great. Absolutely brilliant, because no one's really listening to her. She arrives late, she's a bit chaotic, she takes her scarf off, and bang!
Yeah.
See, I've done one of your noises.
Yeah, you can have it. You're welcome.
She is right in the thick of it, and she's the one that kind of noticed that something was awry. Anyway, she was amazing.
It's
and
really
I'm not
good.
Going to say any more about it because I think we'll give something away, but it is brilliant.
There's there's enough twists and turns in it, and there's enough drama holding it together. There's not a lot of padding. I think the worst thing you can do with something like this is turn it into 10 eps and make three of them a bit paddy. It's like, no, give
they
me 7 eps of all the things I need. I don't want any padding in it. It does bring on something else I want to talk about. Let me just have a quick look, see what it gets on the old IMDBs, because I'd just be interested to know. It's got to hopefully get 7.5 to 8, I would
I'd say 8. It's so good.
Hi, Jack. Yeah, 7.8. out of 10. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look
rate
at the episode, guys. So episode 3 gets an 8.1. Number 6 gets an 8.3. So, yeah, that's really good. On the subject of padding on TV shows, I've watched a TV show this week that you haven't seen called The Sixth Commandment.
Oh, but now, it sounded
amazing. I mainly, I think, have started listening to Radio 4 on a daily basis, and we were in the car the other day and it was on. Timothy Spall came on to talk about this new drama that he was in. That was the interview we heard on the radio. And I thought, I love Timothy Spall anyway, ever since Off Wiedersehen Pet, when he played Barry. And then, you know, he's done a whole mixture of things, which I thought have been fantastic. But when I heard him speak, I thought, I've really got to see this. So he plays a real-life person called Peter Farker, who's a university professor in English, I think, and who is retiring. He's been a kind of closet homosexual his whole life, never had an intimate relationship, never had a partner, a virgin, man of the church. An extremely clean living and very, it seems like a genuinely lovely human being, you know. And his affections are pulled by a student who plays him for some of his money, basically.
Yeah.
And then starts to behave in a very peculiar way. Now, the chap who plays Ben Field, he's called, plays the young student, is utterly brilliant. So Timothy Spall is superb, but the guy who slightly steals his heart is a guy who, when he turns up on screen, you think, oh, what a nice person this seems to be. He writes poetry, and he's a bit of a wordsmith, and he captures Peter Farker's emotions, really. And he does it in a completely and utterly believable way, where you just think, oh no, these are two men that are slightly lost and that have come together. And you're in it with them. And then the young man, Ben, makes a kind of pass, I guess, at Peter. And you think, it's a bit weird, but I can believe it, you know. I don't think it's an unbelievable scenario, you know. And then it starts to get very, very weird after that. But the guy playing Ben Field is so good.
What's
I'm just going
to
find
name?
Out his name. Never seen him before in anything. But God, such a mesmerising face and so brilliantly at being kind and compassionate and all that. And then also being extremely creepy and very dark. You know, God, it was good. A name that you've never seen before. How would you pronounce that? So it's E with a mark above it and then A-N-N-A. Aina? Iana Hardwick, let's see. Sheila Hancock's also in this, Timothy Spall's in this as well. And a few other people that you will have seen before, but it gets 8.1 on the IMDb's, which I think it absolutely deserves. The biggest episode being 8.2, I think, and episode 3 is really good. There's only 3 episodes in it, they're an hour long, there's absolutely no padding, there's no wasted time. I could not stop watching it. I ended up watching it on my phone. I try not to watch anything on my phone because it's too small. But I was in a taxi and I thought, oh, fuck this. I'm just downloading this and watching it in the back of this taxi, which I get car sick as well, but I was like, I just got to see how it's finished. It's a true story, and I believe they've tried to stay incredibly accurate to the story. They said they have made up some fictitious scenes and stuff like that to try and get the story across in the time they've got. And it's not salacious or anything like that, but it's really good. And I've done my best really not to give anything away, because the story moves on from Peter Farker onto other things. But hands down, the best thing I've seen on the BBC for ages. And as my dad said, total BAFTA winner this. I think this guy in particular, this Mr. Hardwick, I think should definitely be up for a nomination, if not win an award. It was so good. And if you're interested in you know, you've got some time to watch something, I'd highly recommend you watch it, because I think it's rich.
Do you know what's quite sad with this podcast is that, you know, you were just pointing at me when you said, if you're interested in something and you want to watch it, like, you really should watch it. But now that you've watched it, for our listeners, I feel like it's a waste of time.
I know.
I spend 3 hours watching it myself when I could be watching something else to recommend to them next week. But we're on a break.
We're on a break, so you could watch it.
So I'm going to watch it.
Anyway, you don't have to, but I think I think you really, really enjoy it. It's fantastic. The Sixth Commandment. By the way, the Sixth Commandment is, thou shalt not kill.
But thou did.
We have to wait and see.
I want to talk about Capsized Ibiza.
Oh, yeah.
So, Capsized Ibiza is a lady that I met at Pike's
one
night.
Yeah.
And we arrived and quite a weird thing happened. She came round the corner and she said, oh my God, we've got a magician in the club tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And this magician came to me and said, think of a famous person's name. And I said, Davina McCall, and 2 minutes later you walked in the club in Ibiza. And she completely went mad, like, I mean, in a nice way.
She got
really kind of excited, and then she said, I want to give you a pair of sunglasses. So I was like, oh God, are you serious? Like, I feel bad. And she's like, no, I'm absolutely serious. Anyway, she was extremely stylish and cool. She was called Lavana, and she just looked amazing. And she was wearing this chain over her nose.
Yeah, it was like face jewellery, wasn't it?
Yes, but it's like a chain that goes over her nose, and then the chain carries on down behind her ears, and she had a little feather hanging from it. She just looked effortlessly amazing. And I said to her, look, Lavana, you choose, help me. So she picked out two or three pairs, and then we ended up in the most outlandish pair of sunglasses that I would never normally wear.
Yes, these are the ones with the diamante things on, the split orange things. Yeah, yeah. You got them?
Yeah, no, not here, but I'll take a picture tomorrow when I go home. And I thought, oh, this is brilliant. But I said, and we had a great time, and I said, I'm going to post the picture on my thing, and I'll share your, you know, your Instagram account. And then I thought, well, that's it. You know, Lavana and I probably went, we might not see each other again unless we go to Pike's or whatever. But then I couldn't stop thinking about this chain across her nose. So I contacted her on Instagram and I said, look, Lavana, do you sell those chains across the nose? Because I think they're absolutely amazing. She said, I absolutely do. So I said, I'd love to buy one from you. I think it was 40 euros. And I said, amazing, can you send it to me? She said, yes, I'm not sure if they normally do this, but the reason why I'm telling you all of this, if you go to Ibiza, you should look up Capsized. They are brilliant. They sell in lots and lots of different venues around the island, but their sunglasses are really good fun. But this face jewellery was particularly cool. Is that she sent me the bill in euros and she said, PayPal me. And for whatever reason, PayPal did not like me trying to pay in euros to this address. I couldn't do it. So I said, look, Lavana, I can't do it. What should I do? Should I just wait until we come out again? And she said, no, just try Revolut. I was like, I don't know what Revolut is. She said, it's just an app. It's like PayPal. Download it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Revolut. Yeah.
So I looked at Revolut and it's got over 30 million users.
Wow.
Yeah. 500,000 business users, 200 countries and regions supported, and 29 in-app currencies. So basically, they want to simplify it even more than PayPal. because sending money abroad and all things like that, balancing budgets or scaling business or whatever, they put your they can put your card on the phone.
On, yes, Apple Pay.
Apple Pay. they raised £800 million to continue to build the global financial super app. They've launched Stays, making it easier to book holidays directly from your Revolut app. Launched on-demand pay to manage businesses when you need to withdraw earned pay early. So it's like loaning you money. It's literally thinking about everything there. They, as I said, they're all over the world, but they are they do just a lot more than PayPal would do for you. You can preload a card. I've got an imaginary card. I don't have a physical card, but there is a card that you can have. But I load up my card because my bank won't let me put my card on PayPal, but I can load my Revolut card
on
with
Apple Pay.
When somebody doesn't take American Express, which is on Apple Pay, I can use my Revolut card, but I know that I'm not going to overspend on it because I have to load it up with money myself. And you can use it for anything. And I think they do like investments and things like that. It is just a really, really clever, brilliant idea. So I would highly recommend anybody that kind of does buy things abroad or has got kids abroad or anything like that, like Tilly. For me, Revolut's a really good way to go about it. And it's spelt Revolut.com.
Great. Thank you. Love the idea of Revolut. Notice that Elon Musk has just changed Twitter to X.
Yes.
And the X app is
The way, they do crypto.
Oh, they do they?
Yeah.
My crypto is still dancing around the £3,000 mark. So I put five grand into Bitcoin maybe a year or two ago. And that is dancing around at £3,000 at the moment. I'm still thinking
that
one day...
it's going on the way up, though,
isn't
it?
Yeah, well, everybody keeps saying that. I mean, it's such a funny thing, crypto, you know. Somebody says something, you go... It's going up. Somebody said it's going up. And you think, great. And then everybody says it's going up. Then
it
never goes up. You think, what?
I just wanted to say here, they also do joint accounts. So I quite like to do
that.
You and I could both put money on a card.
Yeah.
And also they do subscriptions, on-demand pay, budgeting and analytics, which I think is very, very helpful. Commodities, stocks, saving vaults, so you can save money. And then they do rewards. You get rewarded for things,
I love being
which
rewarded.
I really like.
Yeah.
Pet insurance, donations, gifting, shopping, shops. It's bloody great. I literally have not looked into it enough.
But this is the Revolut.
I don't use it enough. Yeah. Revolut.
I'm looking forward to that. But yes, I know Elon Musk is introducing a lot of financial services into X. It'd be very interesting to see how Twitter evolves into something. I wonder if one day we'll go... Do you remember when it used to be Twitter?
What I think is interesting is how many people absolutely hate Elon Musk with an absolute fervour.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Saved normally for murderers.
Yes.
And but yes. I understand that it's because he's a very rich man and people just see him making more money.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there's a level of unfairness about that.
Yeah, and what is he doing any good in the world? And then he does this thing with Twitter and you think he's ruining everything.
Yeah.
But
it'll be interesting.
It'll be in what will he do with it?
Mm.
And if he because we were learning a little bit about the Chinese app that
yes,
he is trying to
WeChat.
Emulate
yeah.
WeChat. And that does sound like an extraordinary app.
Mm.
The only danger for me is if you've got all of your eggs in one basket, what happens if that basket goes nuts?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, it's interesting.
If you've got all of your finances, your housing, your banking, your booking, your everything in one app.
One place, yeah. And
it
gets
dangerous.
Corrupt in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be controlled,
mm-hmm.
or you could be cut off,
mm-hmm.
couldn't you? Yeah, there's a certain amount of danger around all of that. It is fascinating.
Mm.
So about 2 weeks ago, Andy, my right-hand man at MD London, invited a lovely couple to come and get their hair done at the studio. This was Diane and Liz. What we like to do at MD London really is just invite people along having difficulty with their hair, and if they don't mind being filmed and all the rest of it, you know, we'll try and make a bit of content around it to help them, but also help anybody who's watching. So we've done a couple of posts about Diane, and I think we've just done one about Liz as well. Anyway, it was turned out they were such a nice couple. They were from Wales, and they were such a nice couple, and they did have quite an interesting story to tell, which I'll briefly mention. Hope Diane and Liz don't mind me mentioning this. I do know they listen to the podcast, but Diane's husband died quite suddenly, I think back in about 2011, 2012 or something like that. And it was a bit of a shock for both of them. They had a daughter, obviously, as well, Liz, and then Diane had to come to terms with losing her husband and her life partner and all of that kind of stuff that goes with it. As a result of all that, she ended up buying some ice cream shops throughout Wales that have now turned into coffee shops and that have now turned into successful Airbnbs, coffee shops and ice cream shops, where she has her own coffee and ice cream.
I mean, she's an unbelievably astute businesswoman, right?
Oh, God, it's just amazing, really, when you see how she turned
her life around,
situation. Mm. Anyway, so I said, well, send me some coffee because I love coffee. So she sent us some beans, she has two packs of beans here. So it's the house blend. Their business is called Cadwalders, I think it is there. I'm always worried with Welsh words that I'm not saying them correctly. So I'm lacking confidence at this very moment.
Yeah, but it's all right because you've explained that people will forgive
Cadwalders.
You.
Yeah, this is the house blend coffee beans, dark and smooth. So I'm going to take these back and put them in the machine and make coffee with them. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I do want to say thank you very much for that. And she has invited us to her Airbnb in North Wales.
Oh, great. Now,
which is great. And she sent us a menu.
Wales?
So I'll read this out. So what does it, do you know what that says? What word that is?
No.
Well, I think it is...
Crickieth. Oh, this is Crickieth. So bad.
Anyway, wherever that
Cardigan
is.
Bay.
Cardigan Bay, there you go. So let me have a little...
Wow, look at the views.
Yes, right?
Wow.
Well, I'll read it from here. So it says, I enclose a copy of the Cadwalader's menu so you can see what kind of things we serve. But more importantly, a three holiday lets on the back. If you fancy a couple of nights away in North Wales sometime with your family, please let me know. The Iris in Crickieth has two double bedrooms, has a lovely sea view and two apartments in Portmaddock, can accommodate six adults and all the apartments have travel cots in them. So if you've got dogs or kids, then this looks like a great place to go. I went holidaying.
It really does look amazing. North Wales
in North Wales,
the most beautiful place. That's where my granny was, great granny was
from. Stunning here, says. Luxury apartment is 2 minutes walk to the beach, 2 minute walk to the majestic castle. Wow. Set in our very first store. This is the Iris on Castle Street in Crickieth. I'm going to just say it like that. You're surrounded by history and striking Welsh scenery. So there is, it's on Airbnb. It's also on booking.com and getaways at cadwalders.com as well. Mm. So you can go and have a little look at that. The menu of all the things on here look absolutely bloody delicious. Slightly fattening, obviously, for me when I'm doing my best to slim. Mm. But I just want to say how nice it was to meet you, Diane, and Liz, your daughter.
Talking about you guys a lot afterwards.
And thanks so much for the coffee. I'm really looking forward to that. And I'll tell everybody what that was like when we come back after the summer. But we will no doubt see you again, Diane and Liz. But thanks very much for coming down. And thanks for that.
I think you fully intend to make them stars, don't you?
Yeah, yes.
You're going to make them famous.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, they were bloody brilliant. And they had very nice hair, especially after I'd done
the diffuse and they separate the... These are the hero curls.
Hero curls.
Here they come.
You were there for the voiceover, that's right.
I love it. Well, no, and I also watch every single reel you do.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You've always got to loop and curl the hero curls. I love it. Yeah, I think I could do that.
You could definitely do that.
I think you should let... I think we should do a reel where I diffuse...
Somebody's
hair. You have to go and... We dry it, then we go and just make it damp again. And then when it's damp, you put in your Giovanni Rossi.
I've got an idea.
I always call it hair stuff for curly hair.
Umberto Giannini.
I always call him Giovanni Rossi. Giovannita Rossi is, he makes shoes.
Yeah, he waves in status quo.
That was
a joke.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Rossi.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You could do my reels and I'll do yours.
You put the stuff in her hair and then you diffuse it and you do it on.
Come on now.
Slow speed, medium heat.
That'll do. We'll take that.
And you don't move it at all. You just let the curls sit in there. And then once you've dried it like that, then you take the hero curls and you get some more Giovanni Rossi, Umberto Giannini stuff, and you twiddle it with your fingers.
Yeah.
And you do that, and then you go, oosh, boom, Oosh, back of the net. Ding, bong. And then bam.
I think that I should do one of your reels one day and you should do one of mine.
Yes.
But actually be in it. So yeah, I do the workout.
You do the workout.
But in your workout yeah. clothes with
and
the
YouTube I
on
am
and all
you.
That. Yeah.
And I do the hands and everything.
And you can have my merino wool jumpers yes. on and stuff. And you do yes. it and all that. And I do the voiceover.
Yes.
For
and we don't act weird or anything. It's totally
just play it
straight.
Absolutely straight.
Mm.
We do that in September.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Deal.
I'm so excited
Me
about
too.
That. Somebody's
be
gonna,
nice though.
Somebody's going to get their hair
be
done
nice.
By you. Do you
yeah,
know that?
Lucky.
Yeah,
they're lucky.
And I'll get to do one of your workouts. Imagine my abs the following day after mm-hmm. doing one of your workouts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Can we talk about something?
I've got something you've talked...
You do it.
Go on.
No, no, you do it.
What are you going to talk about?
We were going to talk about the film that we watched, but it was a joint one. But you do yours and then that's
okay.
One.
Very quickly, yeah? I had lunch with Izzy Pick, who yeah. came over from America, and I've got a feeling. I wrote down a few recommendations mm-hmm. from her, and I think this was one of hers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get tickets for this. I'm going to recommend it because the summer's going to go, and people need to get tickets for it during the summer.
Yeah.
I also want to recommend a website called londontheatredirect.com. It's just got everything on there, but it's just a very, very good summary of what a musical or what a play is about or like, the things to look out for, how many stars it's got, how many reviews, where it is. It's got photographs, additional info. It's got what it's about, a synopsis, and why it is so good. Anyway, tickets for this are ranging from £24. It's at the London Bridge Theatre, London, and it's Guys and Dolls. Now, everybody will be like, oh, yeah. Guys and Dolls, we've seen it before.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is new because it is fully immersive theatre. Mm. I am so into... They did cabaret at the Kit Kat Club.
You went to that, didn't
no,
you?
No, I didn't. We had tickets and we couldn't go because we were working. But I am so into this immersive theatre. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just tell you what it says here. It says, running time, 2 hours 50, mm-hmm. including interval. This production includes gambling, alcohol, infrequent physical violence, partial nudity. A prop gun will be seen on stage but not shot. Sounds fucking great. And the photographs will explain what it means by fully immersive. So there are standing tickets for this show.
Oh, okay,
so you can
yes.
stand around the stage. Look how close you are to everybody in the show.
Wow.
Look, look.
Yeah. Johnny
it's
and Coco
so good.
Went to see it.
And it, I mean, for Johnny and Coco to highly recommend it, they
yes.
are literally bastions of taste. So I am massively recommending, let's all go see Guys and Dolls. It sounds and looks breathtaking.
We went to see Peter Kay on Saturday night.
Beg, borrow, steal. Beg, borrow, steal.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting, I think, to go and see him after all these
so
years.
So good.
Yeah.
He manipulated us extremely well.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Mm. You know. So for those of you that perhaps might think, it's not worth going to see Peter Kay. I don't want to see him at the O2. It's too big. You know, he's not that funny or that act is kind of dated.
Mm.
These were all the concerns that I had about going. I was easy-ozy about it. You bought the tickets. So I thought, well, great, I'll go, you know.
But you know what's weird is all you boys, mm-hmm. all of you had said...
Not bothered.
No, we really, really want to go and see Peter Gay. It would be amazing. All of you had been going on and on about
really?
It. Yes.
No, I don't remember that, but...
So I was like, oh, my God, I've got these tickets. I was so excited. Everybody was, like, so underwhelmed. I was like, oh, that's really sad.
I knew him 20 years ago. I used to cut his hair for him whenever he came into London, and we got on really well. So it was very nice to slightly reconnect, I guess, to see him again performing. The first half was kind of slow, really, and I thought, I've been so immersed in the world of Stuart Lee and Russell Cain and stuff like that, that very edgy, a highly refined comedy that's got this big narrative arc wrapped around it and all sorts of stuff. Mm. And I was thinking, I'm not sure I want northern gags, I'm not sure that works on me anymore. And the first 15, 20 minutes, I thought, yeah, this is pretty much what I thought it was. It's kind of enjoyable, but I'm not laughing very much. And then the interval came, and then the second half, I was like, oh, this is really good. Okay, I'm laughing out loud a lot, and I'm always looking to see if everybody else, especially you and Chester and all that, people laughing. I really want to make sure everyone's having a good time, And then I thought, everybody's really laughing. And then there were some really big laughs, and I thought, this is great. This is what I thought it would be. Then he went off, did an encore that was knockout. Then he went off and did another encore. And then by the end of it, I was just like, do you know what? That's absolutely
everything. One of the greatest shows I've ever seen. I wanted. And everybody left going, yeah. Oh my God. And what was really good is that I don't want to give the ending away. I wouldn't tell anybody about the ending. Yeah. It's like, go see it.
Yeah.
But the ending is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's the least expected
thing ever. It's so good. What the fuck is this? It's just so good.
It's just amazing.
So if you were on the fence about seeing Peter Kay and you think it's too expensive, I'm not sure, I would say go with an open heart and an open mind, and remember that he's a completely unique comedian, Peter Kay. He's not Michael McIntyre. He's not Stuart Lee or Russell Cain or any of the other Rob Becketts or Josh Widdicombes or any of that lot that have come around in the last 10 or 15 years. This guy is a kind of old school music hall mass entertainer with a real sophistication about him. I think he's absolutely bloody brilliant. Mm. And thank you so much for buying tickets for us.
I don't know anybody that could conjure up that kind of love from an audience.
No, that's what it did.
The outpouring of love from that audience, standing ovation.
Yeah.
It was absolutely beautiful to watch. He's so humble and
there's a great moment in it with his gran as well. If anybody's watched Peter Kay over the years, you'll know that he's got a very close relationship with his gran. Mm. And he does a really lovely piece in the second half that is it's the classic Only Fools and Horses move. Mm. You're laughing one minute, you're crying the next, then you're laughing again. It's like, there's very few people that can pull this off. Well done, Peter Kay. It was superb.
Superb.
So, my youngest son, Joel, talked us into watching a film, which I've watched many times with him, but you'd never seen before, which I was delighted about. Mm-hmm. And you said, no, I've never seen it. I said, should we watch an hour of it? It's a long film. It's nearly 3 hours long. It's called There Will Be Blood. And it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie starring...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
And Paul Dano.
Yeah.
And... the other thing that's interesting about it is the soundtrack, which is the thing you were really immersed in.
It blew my mind. And when you told me it was the bass player?
It's Johnny Greenwood, which is the guitarist from Radiohead.
Yeah. It's absolutely it's Radiohead. Mm. It's a Radiohead kind of feel. With cellos it's got such a feel to it, of Radiohead. But the menacingness of it and the music. I can't remember the last time I watched a film where I was so conscious of the music being so integral to the whole mood and vibe. I hope he won an Oscar for that.
He didn't, and it couldn't get nominated because he'd taken pieces of music that he'd used before as a Radiohead, and it's got to be a complete original score for it to be nominated for an Oscar.
No.
So he missed out on the Oscar nomination. I read about that.
He really deserved that.
He did some very quirky things where he got the musicians to slightly down tune or put their instruments out of tune and then play it because it's really uncomfortable sometimes. But Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh my God.
It's the performance of a lifetime.
It's The Wolf of Wall Street for Leonardo DiCaprio and this for Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Right?
What I would say about it, I think I've talked about this film before on here because we watched it in lockdown and I mentioned how good it was there. There's barely any women in the film. I don't know if you noticed that or not. There is zero people of colour in the film as well. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I'm not even sure you could make this film now in the way that it was made. It's a very undiverse movie, but it is very haunting, extremely disturbing.
Of the time that there were probably very few
black people working
the mines then, and I think also very few women in a very male-orientated
It was very patriarchal.
Patriarchal.
Which we can talk about Barbie in a minute, yeah. Anyway, it's on Netflix at the moment, There Will Be Blood. We have talked about this movie before, so we don't have to go on about it, but bloody
it's really
hell.
Good. Watch
I'd
it.
Forgotten how
and
good it was.
And watch it again.
And what I loved, actually, was watching you watch it. It was so funny because we watched all of it apart from about the last 20 minutes, and then we had to leave, and Joel rang me and said, when you two watch the last 10 minutes, can you film yourselves watching it and send me the film? I was like, I know exactly what he means. He wants to see your reaction to that final scene, because it is like...
That's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's haunting.
It's horrible as well, isn't it? But fuck! I was like, oh my God. So
it's the ultimate payback.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah. I'm a false prophet. Oh, I absolutely love it. There Will Be Blood on the Netflixes. If you've got a couple of hours, or break it up into two parts and watch one night and one the next. But please watch it to the end, because it's fucking brilliant. Barbie?
Can I quickly just say Evernote is an app, and Izzy Pick also recommended this to me because she said we were talking about organising your life for when you die. And I talked about I'd just been to a memorial, a beautiful memorial, and I'd just been to this memorial, and I'd said, I've just changed my mind. I have always said that I'd like to just be cremated anywhere, and then you can do whatever you want with me. But I've decided that I would like to have a church funeral and then get cremated, and then you can do whatever you want with me. But that I love church, and God is all around me in church, and I have faith.
Yeah.
I suddenly was like, I need to write that down somewhere. And she said, oh, I've just been writing everything. Mm-hmm. And she showed it to me in Evernote. Now, you know notes in Apple?
I do. I use it nonstop.
Supersize that.
Oh, really?
Supersize it in every way. Mm. So you can sync and organize, keep your notes handy. You can do templates. You can do a web clipper, so you can save button for the web, document scanner, tasks, searching calendar and home. But what she's done is she has written her entire will and everything, all her passwords, all her work passwords, all her home. So one is for work and one is for family, an entire what to do when I die.
Yeah, okay, bloody hell, right.
But like all of it. It's amazing. All of her access codes, all of her passwords, all of the things she signed up to, where all her money is, all the houses. She's got children. She's got a husband. Like, it's mega.
Great.
And
what's it called?
And she really inspired me. Evernote.
Evernote. Sounds great.
Yeah. To do, turn to do into done with tasks. Oh, I love it.
Like, say that again.
Dive into your day. Home shows you the information you need when you need it, so you can start your day with a clear view and less stress.
Oh, yeah. I need a bit of that.
Make your calendar work for you. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm still using reminders, though, every day.
Yeah, you
and
are.
I find that very, very helpful.
It's great for this lists, podcast. Isn't it?
Can I just say at this point, actually, I bought a new computer. I've had my MacBook. I think it was a MacBook. It wasn't a MacBook Air, but it was a really little small MacBook from 2016, which has been brilliant. But it's now past its sell-by, 7 years old, and I was thinking, do you know what? I probably need a new computer. So I went to Apple, did all the research, by the way, folks, to gather. I wanted something that you could edit on, I could do this podcast on. And when I say edit, I mean edit 4K video from MD London for making reels and stuff like that. So I needed something quite powerful, but I didn't want anything like hyper expensive. I didn't really want a MacBook Pro. I don't need a professional MacBook because I'm cutting people's hair and doing a bit of chatting really, but I did want something really powerful.
So you do lots of editing.
Yeah, I do quite a bit of editing. So I bought the new MacBook Air. It is, and it comes in midnight blue, and as you can see, I've got a midnight blue computer. My God, I absolutely love it. Right, but I'm just going to tell people the setup of it, because if you're interested in buying a computer that can do all the things that a MacBook Pro can do, so it's got the same processor, which is the M2 chip, which is the new Apple chip that is the most powerful, fastest chip they've put in any computer ever. So it's got that in it. It's got 1 terabyte of
storage.
So massive storage. I got 16 gig of RAM, which means it's the speed at which the computer can process stuff. And it is the 13.5-inch MacBook Air. It was £1,800.
That's quite good.
Yeah, because the next MacBook Pro was £2,300. If I wanted the same package but within a MacBook Pro,
I'd say £500.
I reckon I did. So it's slightly smaller than that, and perhaps it's got less ports to put stuff in. Like it's not got an HDMI port, and those do.
Yeah, but you can always get an adapter.
So this was the best, cheapest package of a big, powerful computer that I can get. So it's the MacBook Air in midnight blue. It's the M2 chip, 16 gigabyte, 1 terabyte. Boom, 1895. Got a thing in there, like, boom. But the other thing that's happened is we are recording this podcast on this for the very first time.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
And the sound in my ears is unbelievable. I didn't think the computer would make any difference. It's made a considerable difference, though, right?
Definitely, definitely to the sound.
So I'd be interested to see what people think, because I'm slightly anxious about being too sparky.
What do you mean sparky? We can't be too sparky.
Well, normally I'm like, whoa, look at this. And then it's right loud when I do that. So I'm talking more softer.
You're ASMRing it.
I'm ASMRing it. And I'm wondering whether that's good or not.
You definitely will never be able to eat anything on this podcast.
No, it's not now. Not now I've got this this new computer. Anyway, that was just a little recommendation for you folks on that. Barbie, I really liked it. Mm-hmm. You didn't like it that much, or you quite liked it?
I quite liked it. Okay. I mean, I thought Ryan Gosling was very funny.
Yeah, me too.
I just, the whole patriarchy thing and the speech that thingy made to de-hypnotise all the guys about girls, it felt a bit like I've seen it all before. It's like for the Americans, it's like a big new movement against the patriarchy, but we've been
banging on about it
for ages. And I felt like Barbie taking over Barbie World when she went back and sending Ken off to the beach again and saying, we won't live together in harmony until there's equality in the outside world. I thought that was a bit like anti... I don't know.
Yeah.
I was left like, it's not quite the end. I thought Ken... The funniest thing for me was Ken coming into the real world and realising, like, how important men are. And for me, I thought that was the biggest...
Yeah, I really like that.
It was the kindest way of showing men what it's like.
I thought that
in a nice way of not shoving it down your throats, going, look, you have always had it better.
Yeah.
You could see via Ken, who's going,
this is
fucking great. girls don't mean anything. We're the patriarchy. We love horses. We love cars. And the other thing that I think was super interesting is that I've spoken to loads of girlfriends who go, no, I'm not taking my son. What, to Barbie? And you think, have you read or seen any of it?
Yeah, yeah.
It is not a Barbie movie with little girlies, dolls in it. It's a really deep film about equality, feminism and the patriarchy. Mm. And I don't know what it was. I loved the beginning bit of it.
Yeah.
I just found the last half an hour left me flat, and I was going to go for a huge rousing
crescendo.
Crescendo.
I think the thing I loved about it is I was fully expecting... Go on.
Sorry, one more thing. Felt like everything is not real in Barbie Land, but everything is real in the real world. And when they showed the conference room with Will Ferrell at Mattel in it, I thought, actually, there would be no conference room where you wouldn't have women in there now.
Yeah.
I just think, or more diversity, or it just, I was like, oh, you're saying that this is the real world, but actually to me, it doesn't feel like the real world.
Yeah.
It would be more interesting if they had a couple of women in there and they were like, well, we're still not half and half.
So did you know there are 9 women on the board at Mattel?
That doesn't surprise me, because they wouldn't be able to take the piss out of themselves like that without having a very good track record.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And of course, Barbie was created by a woman who features in the movie as well. So it managed to play around with that in a kind of playful way, I thought. I really enjoyed the Ken bit when he came to the real world.
Yeah, that was
And then
funny.
He was like, I really like it here. And she's
it was
like,
really funny.
I feel a bit frightened.
And I thought...
Afraid, you know.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
That somebody who had had a great life, and she was the perfect person to play that, because she got there and guys were leering at her and it made her feel deeply uncomfortable, but she wasn't quite sure why, because she'd never encountered it. I thought that was really powerful. Yeah. I did.
Yes. And I also loved the idea that Ryan Gosling picks these books up about patriarchy and horses and everything. And it's like, God, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe we didn't come here sooner. And I also loved the fact that he goes to try and get a job somewhere in the financial sector or something. And the guy says, oh, you'll need an MBA if you want to come and work here. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, I thought the patriarchy would just give me a job. And then he goes to try and become a doctor. And she's
I didn't really understand that.
Well, I think this was doing a service to the idea that there's lots of men who are punished by the patriarchy as well. What was interesting this week, again, I was listening to Radio 4, there was a documentary about the patriarchy.
But what, you think a guy should just become a doctor without
a
degree?
But I think there's a feeling out there or a sense out there that men's lives are easier, and the patriarchy somehow supports and encourages and looks after men while punishing women. And I think there is some truth in that, but it's also very brutal towards other men as well. If you're not, you know, particularly bright on the IQ spectrum, you've not done particularly well at school, you've not achieved a certain amount of social status, it's a brutal life for a man who can't get a foot on any ladder at all, can't find themselves an intimate relationship or a good partner or whatever. There's a lot of disaffected men out there. And Ken represented this idea that actually just by being a man was enough to succeed. And what he found actually is that it wasn't. So he was like, well, fuck this, I'm off back to Barbie land. I'll take the patriarchy there
with
and make
me,
it
yeah.
work for
yes,
me.
Yes, okay.
And I thought, oh, this is interesting. Ken's fucking useless, basically. And that's why he can't succeed. So there was something about the patriarchy that wasn't just one-sided. It wasn't like pro-men and not women. Here was it in some way discriminating against men as well. This whole system actually is just brutal for a lot of people, largely women. And I liked the bit at the end where Ken was like, the patriarch is so exhausting. It's like so boring as well. Like, and then when she knocks on the door and he says, do you want to, he says, I want you to come inside and I'm going to play guitar at you for 4 hours. And she's like, okay, you know. And it was just like, because I just want to do whatever it is I want to do, you know. And in the end, he just wants her. He can't be Ken without her. And I love this idea that in the end, as a man walking through the world, you're like, I can't do anything without a woman. Like, I'm fucking useless without women in my life. So I thought it played a nice even hand at the end. And I really enjoyed it at the end that I didn't like the fact that she went into the real world. I wanted her to stay in Barbie world. And I can't remember why now, but it was a reasonable reason for that. I felt like in some way she'd given up by going to the real world. But I can't remember. Overall, I really enjoyed it. And I've really enjoyed, after watching it, reading what everybody thinks about it. Because there's loads of stuff I don't agree with. But I learned quite a lot from listening to other people talk about it. And then loads of stuff that I think, oh, I saw that as well. That's interesting, you know.
I had to call Holly afterwards and debrief because you guys loved it so much and I was a bit disappointed and I felt like I couldn't share it with you because I couldn't quite articulate what it was. And I asked Holly to go and see it. And I said, honest opinion, what did you think? She said, yeah, I was a bit disappointed and we had a good old debrief.
Okay, good.
But I'm not sure that I'm not sure that we can quite put our fingers on why we were a bit dissatisfied. It was such an interesting...
I'd definitely watch it again, perhaps when it comes out or something like that. But if you've not seen it, ladies and gents, I'd definitely go and see it. If you've got boys or girls,
take
go
boys
and see
girls,
them.
Teenagers.
Yeah, or your husband. Or
don't take young kids.
Whatever.
Because it's too...
Yeah, it's quite a sophisticated film,
sophisticated.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a kid's... Not a little. It must be a 15, right?
It's not a surface movie either. It's
12.
It's 12. All under the surface. I'm not entirely sure.
It's all under the surface.
Yeah, you got to dig for it a bit. And can I just say, like, credit to Margot Robbie.
Oh,
I think she's fucking brilliant. She's gorgeous and
she's
all the rest of it. But
I know what an actor.
I know two or three people that work with her, and they've just said you've never met anybody more hardworking, more dedicated to making the best possible film she could make.
She really was extraordinary.
Relentless. Yeah, I totally agree. I just want to see what it's got on the IMDb. I've opened IMDb and I typed in IMDb. That's how bad things have got. So it's a 12A, 1 hour 54, and it's got 7.5, which I think is fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do a couple of shout-outs. Crikey, God, there's so many things we haven't talked about. We had a lot backed up here. Mission Impossible, saw that. The Covenant, I've watched that. Babel, I downloaded that. but we talk about all that another time. Let's do a few shout-outs just to wrap things up. So have you got Making the Cut Insta? Claire Wales says, hello both, love the podcast. Can I give a shout out for something for the northern listeners? I've been to see Kiernan. Can you help me with that?
Kynran.
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 R-E-N. Kynran. Which is an outdoor production about the history of England, the northeast in particular. What an epic show. All delivered by volunteers. I would thoroughly recommend it. It's a fantastic experience. Claire from Wales. That sounds great. So it's called Kynran, I think. Kynran. K-Y-N-R-E-N. And it is the history of England, in particular the northeast. Thanks very much. Claire from Wales. Not Claire from Wales. Claire Wales.
This is from Pip Marsh. She's got several recommendations. Three. One is Brighton Water Shoes on Instagram, which is basically waterproof shoes for going on the beach and going in the water. But they're a small business. They're in the southeast, and anybody that lives in Brighton understands the pain of walking on a pebble beach.
Yep.
The other, after we've talked about Untangled Grief and the amazing work that they do.
Oh, God, yeah, superb.
Is the Good Grief Trust, a charity. They're doing amazing work. Go and look at them on Instagram. And the other is a woman called Rosie Pride Pilot. I'm going to just play this from the get-go because I'm not sure what she is or what she's talking about, so I want to know, why is Rosie Pride Pilot brilliant?
Insight into the glamorous world of being a long-haul airline pilot. Currently in Heathrow, about to check into my flight at my airline offices, and I realise it's too late to go back home that I didn't pack any underwear for a three-day trip. I packed three belts, but no underwear.
Brilliant.
I have a bikini, so that'll be multi-purpose. But yeah. It's just, I'm 35. I shouldn't have to keep washing my underwear in the sink anymore. I'm going too old. Just an insight into the glamorous world of being a long-haul airline pilot.
Can I just tell you something? Why Rosie is very funny. Mm-hmm. She's extremely deadpan.
Yes.
This is, I love her. Thank you, so, Pip Marsh. That was really good.
What's the account called?
She is called Rosie Pride Pilot.
Rosie Pride Pilot.
I'm following.
I would love the insight into a long-haul pilot's life as
well.
Well,
we're going to get it.
Oh my
I'm
God,
bore
it's so
you to
good.
Death.
Nicola Mailinger says, hi, Davina and Michael. Loving the podcast as ever. Been listening since the very first ep. I know this, Nicola, because I've read your name out many times before. So thank you so much for listening for all this time. Great to hear you talk about the Bertinet Bakery in previous episode.
Oh, good.
I was fortunate enough to meet Richard Bertinet at the Fame Food Festival some years ago, and he's charming and funny. Anyhow, you ready for this, Davina McCall?
Yes, I'm ready.
Says, anyhow, date for your diary, the 13th of September, is when the next season of The Morning Show drops.
Oh, my God, that is so good.
I'm certain you want to see that. Looking forward to your last ep before the summer break. Hope you have a wonderful time. I cannot wait to see The Morning Show.
Oh, my God, so
good. I know.
Yeah. I am really excited about that.
Yeah.
And also it's the day before Chester's birthday, just saying. Jamie Ad Stories. Mm-hmm. She's one of our longest listeners and supporters, and she's made a really, really good point here. We do talk about train travel, but probably not enough. She said, please, 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 can you celebrate trains a little bit more? Because sometimes you briefly mention them and then you say, oh, get a cheap flight. She said, as a geography, I know a bit about ecosystems and pollution, and planes create 13 times more pollution per person as trains, like the Eurostar. And we did, I think, talk about taking the Eurostar quite a lot.
Yeah,
we
recommended
the Eurostar going to Paris.
Amsterdam
but
as well,
Brussels. We didn't take it to Amsterdam, but it does go to Amsterdam, and we should probably have mentioned that a bit more. But Brussels, obviously. Did you go to Bruges on a train?
Yes, went to Bruges on the train.
To Bruges. So there are so many
Berlin,
places that we can go visit. And Berlin, obviously, now has got the sleeper. So thank you very much for that, Jamie. We will be a bit more vigilant about trying to big up trains, because I completely agree with you. And in terms of the ecosystem, you are absolutely right. We could do more.
This is from Jen. It said, do you follow this page? It has a huge following, so suspect you do already. And it's following on from your feel-good Instagram recommendation a few weeks back. Thanks, by the way. I'm hunting out the positivity now, and it does feel good. We know a couple of people that are suffering at the moment with a diagnosis of quite a brutal illness. And I was just thinking of things that might help them feel a bit more positive. It's very interesting that I'm looking for Instagram accounts for them, because there is a lot of joy in Instagram, isn't there? Mm. Like, you can read something that can really make you laugh, mm. make you feel good, make you think. At least mm. once or twice a day, you show me something mm. that's either really interesting or mm. makes me think or makes me feel good or something like that.
I really feel like it must be quite annoying if you have been given a sort of finite amount of time to live, whatever mm. length of time that must be, and people keep trying to send you uplifting and emotionally kind of great things. And actually, I was thinking disappointing affirmations would be really fucking funny.
I think that's the one that Jen's talking about, essentially. Yeah. Disappointing affirmations.
The one that's just like, your life is fucked.
It's
so
the opposite
up.
Of positive, yeah, but yeah. it weirdly makes you feel positive.
Yes,
yeah.
It's so funny.
This one's called The House of Reddit. And we aren't following this, but I have recommended another Reddit place before. But these are stories from Reddit where there's one called
That's interesting.
Am I the Arsehole Here? So it's AITA. And it's a story that people post where they go, am I the arsehole here? And then give mm. you the story. And then you mm. get to say, yeah, you are being a bit of arse, actually. Mm. Well, then other people go, no, I would do exactly mm. the same. And it's very interesting when you read all the comments that you think, oh, where mm. do I sit on this issue? You know, mm. bloody complicated issues they are as well. So thanks very much indeed for that, Jen. I love the House of Reddit.
Go.
Graham Heron is quite a nice one to finish on. He's an old friend of mine. He just said, you must watch Boris Becker, two-part documentary on ITVX. Loads of people have recommended this. Mm. And I was looking for something to watch moving forward. And this is going to be pretty much at the top of my list.
I've heard about this.
Yeah,
I've
heard about it too. So thanks very much indeed, Graham.
She's just saying, we took our two eldest girls to the Johan Cruyff Arena last year to see Ed Sheeran at this time of year. And it was fabulous. We're trying to get tickets to the Gothenburg gig for Coldplay this year. 100% have recommended to all friends to go and see bands in other European countries.
Yeah.
And as we just mentioned, you can get the Eurostar to most European countries very easily, and it's better for the environment.
Crazy what's going on with that, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
have a wonderful summer.
Have a wonderful summer.
We will miss you.
We will miss you.
We will store up all sorts of good things.
We will store up.
Positive things.
Positive things.
Things that will make you laugh.
Silly things, yeah.
And make you feel love.
Yeah.
Pew, pew. Have a great holiday wherever you're going. And lots of love.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.